Canto 8. Venus of Cyprus, the world once believed, to its great peril, radiated love, mad love. In her third circle, as she weaved her wiles around this star, the center of her crazed affections. Ancient people thought, an ancient error, that not only she should have the honor of their full support through sacrifice and song, but Dione, her mother, and her little son Cupid, who lay, they said, in Dido's bosom, where he lit the fire for what that lady did to lure Aeneas and to keep him there. And from the goddess, with whom here I take my start, the star map makers took the name of Venus, she that finds two ways to make love to the sun, first with her morning flame, and then again at evening. I was not conscious of rising into it, but more that I was simply there, a sense I got further assurance of, now that I saw my lady grown more fair. And as within a flame we see sparks, and within a voice we hear another voice as both begin to interweave, each making its own choice, one holding close to the melodic line, while the other comes and goes to harmonize. So I saw lights within that light define their separate circles, each in separate guise of speed, some swift, some slow, thus to accord with their eternal vision, so I think. And never down from cold cloud winds have poured, seen or unseen, quicker than eyes can blink, as not to seem hamstrung to anyone who saw those lovely lights fly to our side, leaving the dance that they had first begun up there where the most powerful abide, the seraphim. And from those ranged in view before us came Hosanna, with a sound that ever since I've longed to hear anew. Then one drew near and said this, "You have found all of us ready at your pleasure. You may have your joy of us. We circle round in one orbit, with one thirst, at one pace, along with those high princes you addressed as you that move the third exalted place by understanding, and at your behest, and just to do you pleasure for your grace, a little quiet may be no less sweet, since we are all so very full of love." After my reverent eyes were raised to meet my ladies, and returned from there above with notice of approval, they again turned to that light which had pledged me so much, and I said, "Tell me who you are." And when I spoke, I showed how deep had been the touch of that sweet vow to answer me, and then I saw its size and incandescence grow, fueled by the new joy added to its joys. Thus changed, it said, "Not long the world below held me, for not a man's life, but a boy's I led. Had I lived longer, much that now we know as evil never would have been. My joy hides me from you, and this is how. Its rays cocooning me keep me unseen, a worm in its own silk. How you loved me had cause, for if I'd had more time to dwell down there, you would have had much more to see of my love than the leaves. I, Charles Martel, would have been there to offer you the fruits. All of Provence I would have held as lord, and everything of Naples to its roots down to Ausonia had been my ward, and Hungary was set to be a crown on my brow, shining as the Danube flows when it leaves Germany. And then look down, beyond the end of where your own land goes, to Sicily, which also had been mine, even that coast where the Sirocco blows in from the sea to scour the gulf's curved line, and Etna's sulphur, not Typhon beneath, darkens the land which would have found its kings through me, to wear the future's royal wreath, passed down from the conjoining line that springs from Rudolph and my father. But bad rule, by Charles the First, made such a botch of things. The French were slain because one man was cruel, one of their own, and so Palermo cried, 'Death, death to them!' And if they could not say the shibboleth, then on the spot they died. And finally the rest were sent away. And if my brother Robert learned from this, he'd shun already the catchpenny greed of Catalans and put due emphasis on how the nobles from that country need more stipends all the time. He would make sure, or someone should, there is no further load put on his ship, for it can take no more." His forebears were large-hearted, but the road of royal charity runs out in him. He's mean, and should have chevaliers to serve his cause, whose first concern is not to skim his income as if that's what they deserve. And I, because, my lord, you see as well as I do, the deep joy your words have filled me with, because you have a way to tell through that source by which all good is instilled into existence without end, so I am all the more glad, and I hold it dear, that you see this in seeing God on high. You've made me happy, and you've made things clear, because by speaking you've raised in my mind the question how we come to get sweet seed from bitter fruit. And he spoke in this kind. The human character does not just breed. God gives it to us working through the stars. I'll show you how this is a truth you need before your eyes. Your attitude debars real knowledge, and your back hides what is meant. The good that spins the kingdom of the skies you climb and makes the whole of it content determines in the world that lives and dies all that occurs and works its will through these celestial bodies. All is foreseen in the divine mind. The varieties of nature, yes, but also what they'll mean disposed across the universal frame, thus forming the well-being of the whole. For anything the bow shoots, it's the same. It falls contributing to that one goal of providence, an arrow to the mark. If that were not so, this sky where you walk would generate confusion and go dark, make ruins and not art. Our senses balk at such a prospect, for it would entail faults in the mind that move the starry wheels. The first intelligence would have to fail in giving out the guarantees and seals of all perfections. Do you need this theme expounded further? And I, not at all. I see how nature, to complete its scheme, can fail in nothing. It's impossible. Whence he continued. Think on this, then. Would a man be worse off if on earth he were no citizen? And I, that's understood. No proof is needed. He, can that occur, citizenship, unless in different ways men live below and do the things they do? All this your Aristotle well portrays. He argued thus, and then continued. You must know, therefore, your actions all diverge at root. For one man, Solon, legislates, while Xerxes fights, having a different urge. Melchizedek's a craftsman. He creates in one way, but then Daedalus invents the means to fly, and so his son is lost. And circling nature, in the broader sense, employs one art. The mortal wax embossed with her seal has no house that stands apart from all the other houses. So it was that Esau was not Jacob, and the heart of Romulus was no less great because he was a peasant's son. Indeed, Rome thought Mars was his father. All that are begot, if providence did not act as it ought, would echo their begetters like as not. As the divine decides, so men are wrought to be themselves. Now what was held concealed behind your back you see before you. But just so my joy in you can stand revealed, take this corollary and wrap it shut about you. One more cloak around your gown. Always. Should nature meet with fortune ill adapted to it, then, like seed flung down away from its soil, it can't fulfill its usual expectations of success. And if the world below could only set its mind on fundamental naturalness, what men were meant to give you, you would get. But you switch someone, cut out to profess the art of wielding the long warlike sword towards religion. And you make a king from someone whose proclivities accord with preaching sermons, and that way you bring yourself to lose track and lose everything.